Blog Talk Radio.
Well, the word out is that the Navy SEAL Team 6 is getting ready to training to take out the little Kim, fat little Kim, who's threatening everybody with nuclear weapons. And so we've got a report on that from the Sun UK. Elite U.S. Navy SEAL squad that killed Osama bin Laden is, quote, training up in South Korea to take out Kim Jong-un. Little Kim, fat little Kim, the fat little kid that John McCain is picking a fight with. They're in drills in South Korea, and tensions are rising. The crack U.S. Navy SEAL team that took out Osama bin Laden as he sat on the toilet reading. I wonder if he was reading the Quran or something else. From what I understand, he had a real porn addiction. So, but then again, you know, those radical jihadists really seem to have a lot of respect for women. So we're just going to assume he was reading porn on the toilet. But in any event, they are getting ready for the ultimate takedown, which is the leader of the Hermit Kingdom, as they say. And, it is kind of interesting, you have to admit. Military officials confirm that ground, air, naval, and special operations, quote-unquote, are taking part in several joint and combined field training operations involving up to 17,000 troops. And the South Korean newspaper Jungang Daily has claimed the teams would take part in a drill to simulate the removal of Kim, little Kim. But officially, there is no word on this special program. Former U.S. Navy Commander Gary Ross said there are a variety of special forces participating in Full Eagle. So this is a thing that we do with our ally Korea. Okay, so many stories to get into before we sleep here. The first one I'm going to get into is whether Syria had gas, because what's really going on here is that there's a permanent war, speaking of which, there's a permanent war that's being waged against Donald Trump. Well, whether you're for him or against him, if you think of all of the stuff Trump is supposedly failing it on or at, and you compare it to the shortcomings and the failures of Obama. Obama was light years ahead in failure to Trump. So, I mean, you know, let's go prosecute Obama for being a terrible president. And then if there's any energy left over from that, we can go after Trump. But anyway, here's a question. Was there gas used in Syria, or was it a false flag?
Man at the Pentagon.
Oh, and pardon me here. Getting ready for a little music for your break here.
There is no doubt Syria's government was behind last week's chemical weapons attack. National security correspondent Jennifer Griffin is live at the Pentagon tonight, where Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has issued a warning. Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Brett. Defense Secretary Mattis stopped short of blaming anyone other than the Syrian regime for the chemical weapons attack exactly a week ago today. He would not say when asked whether Russia knew about the chemical weapons attack in advance.
There have been mixed messages from the administration about whether you're calling for regime change in Syria. Are you prepared if there, are you calling for Assad to step aside, and are you prepared militarily if he were to step aside tomorrow?
The strike that we're talking about here today was directed at the people who planned it, who held on to the weapons. Contrary to what they had promised the international community and the United Nations when they said they had gotten rid of all those weapons. And the reason for the strike was that alone. It was not a harbinger of some change in our military campaign.
Meaning the U.S. military's priority remains the defeat of ISIS. Mattis all but ruled out responding to Assad's renewed use of conventional barrel bombs. Without talking of red lines, Mattis issued a clear warning today to the Syrian regime that if it uses chemical weapons again, the U.S. would act. He described U.S. actions as a measured military response, adding the Pentagon believes Assad has used chemical weapons several times in the last several years, including chlorine gas.
I just want to say very clearly that the use of chemical weapons, contrary to the Geneva Convention that Syria has signed up for, using chemical weapons that Syria agreed under UN pressure to remove from their arsenal, those chemical weapons that the Russians certified were gone, that if they use chemical weapons, they are going to pay a very, very stiff price.
Mattis would not be drawn into a discussion on North Korea or whether the movement of the USS Carl Vinson
Bob,
aircraft
you?
Carrier strike group was designed
Bob?
To send a message to North Korea's
Bob?
Leader. Brett?
Jennifer Griffin live at the Pentagon. Jennifer, thank you.
We do have a phone call. Thanks for calling in. This is Bob. Hello?
No, this ain't Bob Kelly. This is Takashi.
Oh, my dad. Takashi, what in the heck did got you up so early?
Man, I'm always up this early. I'm working, man.
Hey, you know what? They say rust never sleeps.
There you go. There you go. Always growing, baby.
So what's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Seems like your guy Trump has created another military quagmire here, Kelly. Like I was telling you, I've been listening to your conservative guys lately, and it seems like they're saying that this seems to be some kind of a fake news / false flag.
What? Which one, though?
This whole thing about the sarin gas or whatever gas they're saying, because they're saying that when you watch a lot of these videos, those people and the rescuers that come in contact with those kids and all that, they would have been affected, too, by some kind of a nerve agent. So I don't know exactly.
Is this Alex Jones? Who did you get this from?
I'm talking about physical and visual.
No, I understand, but who brought this up?
Oh, this was Savage, Michael Savage.
So do you think it was a false flag, a claim that
no,
there was gas?
No, because they keep saying nerve agent and this type of gas, and anyone with any kind of experience knows that if you come into any kind of contact with that, you're dead too. So what was it, you know?
I'm not an expert on nerve gas, so I couldn't really say what would look like a real as opposed to a false flag. But so Savage thinks that there was not a real attack of gas?
Yeah, he's kind of saying that it smells and reeks of the whole WMD thing again. And he's saying something about this might backfire. At first, he was along with the move that Trump was making. Now he's saying that this might turn out to backfire somehow. I don't know exactly in what terms, but yeah, there's rumors about this whole sarin gas thing being fake, man.
All right. So, well, I'll look for information on that. I knew the claim was out there, but I don't really don't know. I mean, most people thought we should have attacked Syria before the war started, when President Obama had made the promise. So it seems like the attack that we launched, the limited attack, was more than 50% of the people supported it. So I don't know. So, but you think it's a mistake?
Have you seen what President of Russia has been saying?
On what topic?
In regards to the same topic we're speaking of right now.
Putin says expects fake gas attacks to discredit Syria's Assad. I don't know. I'll have to look into this a little bit more. But
okay.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
All right, folks. We'll have to. Let's see here. I've got something. I want to get something that's a little substantial on this. Let's do this. Let me see what I can find in terms of false flags. In terms of, on the contrary, U.S. military ready to fight North Korea, ready tonight. Here's that clip.
A U-2 spy plane taxis toward takeoff as dawn breaks over the Korean Peninsula this morning. Its pilot fitted in a NASA-like pressure suit to withstand the 8-hour-long mission at soaring altitudes it will take him near the edge of space. With North Korea's unsettling ambitions and rhetoric rising, demand for these intelligence missions is high.
It's a constant tempo. We're very busy all the time. In the last 10 years, we've been the busiest we've ever been in this airplane.
The distance from Osan Air Base to North Korea is about equal to that from Baltimore to Washington, less than 50 miles. The base's slogan, ready to fight tonight, because it could happen that quickly.
Everybody on the installation has to know very quickly where they need to go, where they need to have their gear, but most importantly, what role that they do in a warfighting environment.
Patriot missile batteries defend the base from North Korean ballistic missiles. Preparations for chemical attacks are constant. Air crews hone their combat readiness.
We've been granted rare access to the Air Operations Center deep underground, the place where North Korean missile launches are first detected. This facility is so critical, war planners say it is the number one target of the North if hostilities break out.
Thus, what we're allowed to show you is highly restricted. Suffice to say, layers of sensors give these American and South Korean operators a very detailed view of threats that they'll have minutes to react to.
When you see a missile launch from the North, you have to know whether it's coming here or Seoul or going harmlessly to sea pretty quickly.
We do. Time of flight is pretty short, but we have great capabilities all throughout this peninsula that are ready to respond.
The American commanders here say their prime mission remains deterrence, but they're ready to act if necessary.
If North Korea launched a rocket, and if we did not know whether it was a satellite or a warhead on top, we, the United States, would likely try to shoot it down. In response, North Korea will try a number of things, in part by sending artillery fire into South Korea. And right away, you have a major conventional war on our hands.
While the posture of the 28,000-plus American military personnel has not outwardly changed, the level of tension certainly has.
I've never seen greater concern from a regional perspective of the threat that is being posed by North Korea.
I'm looking at his wingtips. I'm
back at Osan.
All right, so you got that. Let's take a break, and I found some stuff, but let's take a little segue here first. And here's a song by Jimmy Webb, Pat Metheny, and Charlie Hayden. Very, very beautiful song. 619, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180. I think I have the texture in my car, and you're listening to KOBE in Las Cruces, New Mexico. All right, I've got a clip from Savage on the false flag. A false flag is, the definition of a false flag is a faked event. It's either totally faked, it didn't happen, like some people believe that the United States didn't send an Apollo aircraft and pod up to the moon. They believe that it was faked in a studio. Another definition of false flag is that somebody does something, but it's attributed to another person. So there's a lot of people out there called truthers who believe the U.S. government brought down the Twin Towers, as absurd as that sounds. But it's a term that's used a lot. And the claim is that the United States government is involved in psychological warfare, and the warfare in part, which includes propaganda, includes also false flags, which is a part of propaganda to, you know, it could either be propaganda. Well, anyway, I won't get too deep into this, but we're always being propagandized. And if I can step on my soapbox for 1 second, I think the number one failure of the millennials is to understand that we're always in the midst of being propagandized, and the millennial generation seems to look into its own bosom and see only truth and love and fairness for other people. And it never occurs to them that somebody might be misleading them or lying to them. They just jump on the, this is not all the millennials, but some of them buying into global warming and stuff. What other possible reason could there be for people to be saying that there's global warming? Look at the, I just challenge you to do this. Set the claim aside whether the temperature on the earth is going up or not. And at least admit to yourself we haven't suffered catastrophes as we've been told for decades are going to happen. The earth is going to get cooked. All the ice is going to melt. The sea level is going to go up 20 feet, all this garbage. Ask yourself, what is the antidote to global warming look like? And it is indistinguishable from socialism, redistribution of wealth. And that's a coincidence? All these carbon credits and everything? All right, here's Mike Savage on false flags of Syria.
There's a man with a gun over there. Telling me I got to beware. Thank you, time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's moving down.
This is the Savage Nation. I am the only person in the American media with a science background. I intend to approach today's program as though this is a jury trial, and I hope that you, the listeners, will be the jury. My postulate is quite simple. Want to hear it? Because you're going to hear it. This was not sarin gas, number one. It looks like phosgene gas. I realize those are big words for those in the media who are ready to put on military uniforms on their radio and television shows. This was a complete false flag event. And I'll give you some evidence, and you decide for yourself whether this thing is a fake or not. First of all, let's start from the beginning. Was this a strategic move that had the approval of Congress? Approval of the UN? Were any U.S. interests threatened by Assad? Assad was fighting ISIS, for God's sakes. He had ISIS on the run with the help of Russia. What happened? Who just won? Why, we just helped ISIS. Isn't that what McCain and Lindsey Graham are celebrating? So we've just turned 180 degrees. Bannon was out, Kushner was in, and all of a sudden the strike was launched. I told that to you yesterday. This was a military tweet by Donald Trump. Quote me. President, known as a tweeter. This was a military tweet. Has he thought about what the next tweet might be? He better, because there's got to be another one very soon. I mean, really, what did he do militarily? It was actually a weak strike when you think about it. If he really wanted to take out Assad, wouldn't he have struck Damascus and killed Assad with a heavier weapon? I mean, think about this. This was a limp-wristed attack in order to gain the attention of the fools in the media and the fools amongst the so-called Republican voters who think this was a real great military action. So let me go back to my main contention here. This was not even a sarin gas attack. That's aside from the fact
that Assad, who has been accused of gassing his own people, had nothing to gain by gassing his own people. Let's assume that you are in the camp that bought hook, line, and sinker the big lie that Assad would gas his own people with sarin gas. Now, what would Assad have gained by doing that? Is he stupid? Is he that stupid not to have figured out what would happen a day later? So why would he do it? He was winning. Was he losing? Was he desperate? Was Assad desperate enough to use sarin on children? Of course not. But there's no logic in America. There are just robots, RNCers, neocons pretending to be conservatives. Let me give you some evidence and you decide for yourself. Because this military tweet by President Trump is an embarrassment. It was not a strategic move. Has he thought about what follows? McCain is glowing over this. What does that tell you? The Soros globalist cabal has now won. Trump is doing their bidding. Isn't this what we told Hillary we didn't want her to do? Isn't this why we voted for Trump? Isn't this why I sacrificed the year of my life to work to get Trump elected? Isn't this why I wrote Trump's War? There's a whole chapter in Trump.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, he might be a scientist, but where is the evidence that shows that it's not a gas attack? Here's a little bit on Phosgene, by the way.
Hello, this is Dr. Carlo Oger, emergency physician and founder of edexitvideo.com. This video is about Phosgene exposure. If you were exposed to Phosgene gas and are having any of the following symptoms like coughing, tightness in the chest, bloody sputum or phlegm, irritation of your skin, if your eyes are having cloudy vision of the cornea or vision problems, if you develop any other concerning symptoms that were not present during your initial evaluation, you should come right back to the emergency department. Are a group of chemicals that are highly toxic. They are colorless gases that give off a hay-like odor. These agents are transmitted to humans by inhalation or breathing them in, and skin absorption. Treatment includes supportive care and hospitalization. Decontamination includes administration of oxygen, washing of contaminated clothing and skin with soap and water, and irrigation of the eyes. If you're
all right, so anyway, I don't know. I'll have to look for more evidence that that it was a fake attack, but Savage doesn't give it right there. 6:31, I got some local news for you. 523-1450, 805-6180. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, KOBE, false flags. Okay. Yeah, all right. So here I want to, here's a little bit more in respect to Mike Savage, who's a very smart guy. He may have put in information that showed that it was a false flag, but I didn't hear it coming. So being a scientist in the media, the only one isn't proof that it was a false flag, of course. All right, here is a little bit from Alex Jones in case you're curious what he said about it. We do have a phone call. Is it Bob? Sorry, my microphone was blocking my view of the board. So if you want to call back, I'll take your call. All right, so do you hear me? Call back. Waiting for the board to light up. Okay, here's some Alex Jones. And, well, you never know. You know, there's many, many, many hoaxes out there, but here we go.
Information from various sources that a similar provocation, and I can't call it anything other than a provocation.
This is Putin.
Provocation is being prepared in other parts of Syria, including the southern suburbs of Damascus, where they're again preparing to release some similar chemical substances and accuse the Syrian authorities of using them.
And now they're going to call me a Russian agent again because Vladimir Putin has come out and said clearly the chemical attack was a false flag. We never do that. Just like they did a few years ago, they got caught. And then we have Ron Paul saying it, and we have the British ambassador saying it. Are we all Russian agents? I guess Putin is. So let's go ahead and play Vladimir Putin. Is Daria going to read the subtitles, or am I?
Oh, they're already there.
Okay. We've got actually an evil Russian working here. U.S. Army veteran, the whole nine yards, but she can't be trusted. But here, she's going to read what Putin had to say.
Hey,
here it
Kelly.
Is.
We have information from various sources that a similar provocation.
Okay,
and I can't call it
I'll put you on hold, and when I get done with the clip, I'll bring you on, okay?
In other parts of Syria, including right. The southern suburbs of Damascus, where they're again preparing to release some similar chemical substances and accuse the Syrian authorities of using them. But we regard that any such incident would be reason enough for a thorough investigation. We are preparing to make a formal call to the relevant UN agency in The Hague and call on the international community to investigate thoroughly these incidents. And depending on the result of the investigation, to make informed decisions and take meaningful action.
All right, let's go to the former British ambassador to Syria, Peter Ford, 2 days ago. Saying that they've now given them plenty of excuses to stage more false flags.
And based on...
We do have a phone call. Let me get to that before we hear this. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Is this Bob?
Yes, sir. I apologize for calling so much. Kelly, how's my best friend?
Well, it's okay because I understand that you had some turbulence at the university library. And, I understand you're probably still a little bit agitated at that.
Not much. Just Steve Lopez. I need to talk to him. He's the campus police administrator. But what's really important, Kelly, is that yesterday I had a talk with a really nice lady. I'm not going to give you her last name because I haven't told her that I was going to do this. Her first name
is
Joanne.
All right. Go ahead.
And she is really, really informed. She's from La Mesa. And she's really informed about what's going on in this community, and I would be honored if you would meet her.
Bob, get to your point, please.
Okay, my point is, reason for calling is that I will be addressing the Don Anna County Commissioners in the near future.
A lot
of this has to do with the Vice Chair, Mr. Juan Busquez, but everything seems to be okay.
Bob, your point, please, for the love of all that is just, please get to your point.
Okay. I do not like the fact that at the county jail, all they do is yell out, chow. We can change that. Everything will be fine.
All right. Well, let's work on that. Thank you very much. Let's ban the word chow at the jail, and we're going to have a human rights breakthrough. All right, here is Peter Ford, and a former British ambassador to Syria.
Previous experience, including Iraq, we can see that we cannot take at face value what the so-called intelligence experts tell us, not when they have an agenda. But come back to the main point, it's not going to end here. And we are likely, Britain, to be dragged into it because Trump has just given the jihadis 1,000 reasons to stage fake flag operations. Seeing how successful and how easy it is with a gullible media to provoke the West into intemperate reactions.
All right, let's just go off this idea, kind of let it nestle in the back of your mind. In the meantime, I want to get to something that seems to me to be a very, very serious issue, which is the idea that Trump is evil and has to be taken down. This is a bigger threat to the democracy than Obama ever was. The idea that if you're opposed to the president, if the media is, he has to be taken down, regardless of ever breaking any rules. And we do have another call. Thanks for the call. Probably Bob again. All right, here we go. The multi-front war against President Trump with Sean Hannity.
Conservative commentator Monica Crowley. I don't even know where to begin here. This isn't even funny anymore. Mm-hmm. This is like off the charts, loony, play the Twilight Zone, meet, you know, crazy, bizarre conspiracy theories that they're advancing every hour of every day.
Yeah. You know, you played that clip from Vladimir Putin talking about, well, the Americans are going to launch yet another fake chemical attack. The Russians have long been masters of propaganda and disinformation and lies, lying campaigns, but so has the American left. And what you just laid out there is them doing the work of our enemies for us. We had a conversation about a month ago, Sean, on this program about the campaign to delegitimize Donald Trump. If only it were that simple, that we could actually fight back and manage. But what is happening is a multi-front war against this president, coming not just from the left, but from the establishment on both sides, from the mainstream media, from the international community, from the deep state, from every possible angle. And what I said at the time was Donald Trump was able to smash 16 Republican pros during the campaign, smash the Obama machine, smash the Clinton machine and become president.
How does NBC allow,
though? I just hope he can withstand this as president, because this is a completely different ballgame.
How does NBC float a theory that Vladimir Putin told Assad to launch a small chemical attack that was big enough to attract media attention and prompt President Trump into launching a missile strike, which would then change the topic of Russian collusion? And meanwhile, right now, Russia is threatening to fight back against us. Syria is threatening to fight back against us. And Rex Tillerson is lecturing publicly about possible collusion or incompetence of Putin.
Right. Well, look, I mean, if you look at what the left's campaign has been against this president from the start now, for months, it's been the allegations of Russian collusion that persist despite no evidence. It's the constant onslaught of fake news, as you just laid out. It's the lies. It's the smears. And they have the amplification of the media echo chamber to carry these messages. So for the left, it doesn't matter that it's not true, Sean. I mean, anybody with common sense knows what you just laid out is false and a defamatory attack on the president. But for the left, it's not
Kelly.
About the facts. For the left, it's about injecting into the bloodstream these kinds
Hello?
Of theories, these kinds of allegations.
This is pathological at this point, though.
Yes, but
the very same people that were so upset that people wanted Barack Obama to show his birth certificate. That's
right.
Racism and
so,
dog whistles.
That's right. So you know what we should call them? We should call them Putiners. Because they called, right?
Birthers.
And this is not the defending the birther theory. This is just to say that this is what they do. They go out there, and so we should turn the tables on them. Call them, you know, Russianers or Putiners. Going out, spreading these lies, hoping that they stick.
Very dangerous.
To create a...
Very dangerous. We do have a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. I just wanted to add a quick little piece here.
Takashi, if somebody asks you your name, give your name like you've been captured. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. The thing is, that lady mentioned something about the left right now, but what seems to be happening right now, a lot of the conservative rightists, the people on the right are now going against Trump, too, based on some of these moves that he's making.
Well, I mean, look at the – Trump came from an ideologically middle position, probably a little conservative. I'm sure he was always more conservative than he let on when he was just a businessman, but – now he's kind of operating in uncharted territory. He's a non-politician. He gets into office. He supported abortion in the past, and now he's totally opposed to it. He's changed many of his opinions. I'm sure he's still getting a feel for it. And who knows ultimately what the guy really believes in on each policy, on each subject, you know?
In the old country, we would call Trump a two-sided machete or a sword. But based on some of his movements. But what I would say is, in regards to that sarin gas, do you remember that incident in the airport with that Kim Jong-un's brother or whatever, with that lady?
Yeah.
That put that cloth around his face.
Yeah.
That was sarin gas. And
no.
That lady, if you know.
No, that was not sarin. No,
not sarin. It was a nerve agent. It was a nerve agent.
I know. Hold on. Stop. Stop shouting for a second. It was VX or something like that. But anyway, make your point, because I got more fish to fry.
Yeah, my point was, if you notice, when that lady stepped back, how her hands were, she couldn't have even come into contact with that stuff. So what I'm saying is, if that was a nerve agent, those people in those rescue videos were all in contact with those affected folks, is what I'm saying.
All right. I'll look into this. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, feel free to call back many, many times if you need to. If that's part of your therapy, let's get it on. Take a little break here. And my machine did crash, but then it's kind of come back on its feet. So let's go to our break. We'll be right back.
Top 10 things I have learned in my 84 years. Are you ready, Mom? Okay, here we go, number 10.
Vanilla
Thank you.
Okay, so at 6:50 on the button, takeaways from the first hour. I just think that, and there, Bill O'Reilly may be done. He has been accused of making passes at women, or you know, I don't know if he's accused of sexual assault, but maybe propositioning women. But he could be done at the network. Although he's a huge cash cow for them, but he's just another. I mean, obviously, he would be a huge prize for the left if they could bring him down. So, anyway, let's go after this question of bias in the media. And is this media that you're listening to right now? No, just your friendly local talk show, not part of the mainstream media.
Welcome back to Hannity. So the alt-radical left and their cronies and the destroy Trump media, they're so desperate to smear, slander, besmirch the president, they're now sounding like Vladimir Putin when pushing their fake news conspiracy theories. Now, the alt-radical left is in complete meltdown mode, and we're going to expose them. And that's tonight's monologue. All right, so earlier today, ahead of Secretary of State Rex Tillerson's trip to Moscow, the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, started running with a wild claim that the United States of America is somehow going to fake a new chemical weapons attack in Syria to justify further military action from President Trump. Now, that sounds completely nuts, right? Because it is. But guess what? The alt-radical left, destroy Trump media, they have repeatedly been pushing the same types of insane conspiracy theories. Watch what is supposed to be called news, NBC and others.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was just completely, totally, absolutely impossible to suspect that Vladimir Putin orchestrated what happened in Syria this week so that his friend in the White House could have a big night with missiles and all of the praise he's picked up over the last 24 hours? Wouldn't it be so nice if you couldn't even in your wildest dreams imagine a scenario like that?
Wouldn't it be great if we could go back to Wag the Dog being a semi, being a sitcom plot, you know?
Exactly. I'll say it again. This Russian connection just keeps building, and every time it builds and expands, you have to wonder if Trump himself isn't worried about what's swirling around under the covers.
CNN has learned new details of the FBI investigation into potential links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government.
Specifically, Willie, I think what it means is that a federal judge found that people in Trump's organization were colluding with the Russians.
Was there somebody inside the Trump campaign who was working with them, and did the president know about that, and were they successful?
Cue Twilight Zone. It's pathetic. What we have now is over-the-top, lying, bizarre, novel-like conspiracy theories and the advancing of some of the most insane, craziest stories you probably have ever heard. Now, it's completely off the charts. It's unhinged and just more proof of how completely biased these people really are. But that has not stopped Democrats in Congress from doing the exact same thing. They're as nutty as their friends in the media. Take a look at what Representative Seth Moulton said last night on Tucker Carlson's show about President Trump's decision to strike Syria. Watch this insanity.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, one exception does not prove the rule. I mean, you know, this could very well be interpreted as an attempt by the administration to get out from under the claim that they're colluding with Russia.
Wow. What's clear is the alt-radical left in this country, they're ignoring all truth and the facts. Now, for months, the alt-radical destroy Trump propaganda media has been pushing without one scintilla, not one, of evidence whatsoever, this false narrative of President Trump colluding with the Russians. Now, this goes against what the former director of national intelligence under Obama, James Clapper, the FBI director, James Comey, the NSA director, Admiral Mike Rogers, have all been saying. There is zero proof of the Trump Russia collusion they keep talking about for eight.
It's pretty obvious. One last break. We'll be right back. Here's a little bit of time travel, Nate Bargatze.
I think of it like time traveling. Like if I could go back in time, like if I could go back in time tonight and go back to like the 20s, knowing everything I know right now, I don't think I would make a difference. I don't think you guys would even hear about it. I don't think you would. I just don't, like, because I don't have anything to get, you know. Like, I would go back, and I would see, like, some guy on an old phone, and I'd be like, hey, eventually they have phones you, like, carry in your pocket. And they're like, yes, like, how do they do it? I'm like, I mean, I don't know how they do it. I think it's a satellite. I think a satellite. They're like, what's a satellite? Oh, I should have even said that.
It's Kelly. Kelly.
It's like metal. Yeah, metal's going to go pretty high in the air. I don't know if you guys are doing it. I don't even know if I could prove I'm from the future. I don't even think I could. I think I would just get stuck because they would want something. Like, who's the next president? Oh, boy. Abraham Lincoln. You guys are going to love him. He's really good. They just think I'm from the past. That's what they were like. It would just look like they don't have to get a regular job. I would just have to, like, wait tables or something. In the 20s. I would go back in time and do worse than I'm doing right now.
All right, we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell. Kelly O'Connell Show, who's this?
This is Dell.
Dell, how's it going? We got about 1 minute, man. Hit your spot. What's going on? What's on your mind?
I'm more focused on the local events. Hey, whatever happened to Vanessa Topovich?
She's gone. Anything else? You called up to complain about the content and Vanessa. Anything else?
Well, that's what I wanted to start. Hey, who's this Nixon guy that replaced her?
He is no relation to Richard Nixon, if you're worried about that. Anything else?
He sounds like he's got an agenda. I mean, he's complaining about conservatives and conservative issues.
I may have to confront him on this.
Yeah, hey, and I'll probably call back tomorrow. Buses, whatever happened to the county buses, did Robson get that taken care of or what?
It's a ghost fleet, man. They're wasting all your money. It is. There, nobody rides on it. They're calling tomorrow. Call in tomorrow, Dell. Yeah, exactly. Dell, call in tomorrow.
What are you going to do about it?
Dell, call in tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, folks. Feel free to call in and invent your spleen here. Kelly O'Connell, AM Lustrous, the same 1450. I'm more interested in the local stuff, too. But how many local stories could you do? If you were doing news 2 hours a day, how many of your stories would be local? I met somebody who told me that she came from a town much smaller than this, and there was 10 times more things going on in it. So we'll be back after break on the hour. Thank you. All right. So we were talking last hour about false flags and that type of thing, whether the Syrian gas attack was simply a false flag or whether it was something else. And so what I don't understand is why Mike Savage would say it was phosgene gas after phosgene as opposed to sarin. I mean, as if there was, one would be more acceptable than the other. I mean, it might have been phosgene gas. I have no idea. On the alternative, what's the difference, practically speaking, you know? So, all right, since this is basically one of the topics of the moment and everybody's going after Trump on Russia, let me play a little clip on whether there is a connection between Trump and Russia. But in the meantime, let me get you some headlines. SEALs are training to take out Lil' Kim. Nuke sniffer has been deployed. Iran's Ahmadinejad is running for president again. Republicans win in tough Kansas congressional race, and liberals are now pouring record support into local elections that they haven't done for 10 or 20 years because they thought that they were going to be running everything from the top down. Melania wins $3 million damages from a British newspaper for defamation. Rolling Stone pays UVA for defamation. Border. I got some border changes for you. We got some good stuff there. Bannon is in a fight with Kushner for supremacy in the White House. Puerto Rico going into bankruptcy soon. Outrage over that story I told you about yesterday, the Asian doctor who was dragged out now off the plane. Now it turns out that the plane was not overbooked. So flying car, the first ever flying car, is about to be produced. Pretty good looking, I must say. O'Reilly may be out. Who takes over at 8 o'clock? Is it Hannity or somebody else? Is it? Why not stick, what's his face, in Taka? And, all right, so there is a fight in Europe over the right versus the left. Now, here is this little clip on why the media doesn't finally admit there's no connection between Trump and Russia.
The Trump administration is a gang of Russian operatives are starting to look sillier day by day. Russian diplomats say tonight that relations are at their worst since the Cold War. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, is in Moscow trying to get Russia to abandon Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. He struggled, however, even to arrange a meeting with Vladimir Putin. Meanwhile, Congressman Brad Sherman of California is on the Intel Committee. 2 months ago, alleged the ties between Trump and Russia were Watergate 2.0. Congressman Sherman, thanks a lot for joining us tonight.
Good to be with you. I'm senior on the Foreign Affairs Committee, not on the Intel Committee.
Rather,
but,
Foreign
look forward
Affairs.
To guys talking about these issues. Yes,
exactly. Yep. So you have said for a long time that there are clearly ties between Russia and the Trump campaign and now administration, and you've said it pretty floridly. And yet today, you mocked the Trump administration for not being able to get a meeting with Vladimir Putin. So which is it? Is Trump a puppet of Putin, or are they at odds with each other in a way that's so appalling that you're making fun of it?
Well, last time I was on the show, I said it was clear that Russia hacked Hillary. Whether Trump was in collusion with Russia has yet to be established. That's why we need an independent commission. But clearly, these revelations have put the onus on the Trump administration to bend over backwards and prove that they aren't in league with the Kremlin. And of course, this terrible action by Assad, I mean, he kills people every day by the hundreds,
right.
But now to use chemical weapons make it impossible for Trump to ignore that.
But that's actually not what you alleged. I mean, you at one point said the Russian government doesn't need lobbyists in the United States, the implication being they already had them in the Trump administration. Again, you call this Watergate 2.0. You didn't just say the Russians hacked the election, whatever that might mean, but you implied that they did so with the active cooperation of the Trump people, and your story just fell apart based on the actions of the last week, hasn't it?
No, obviously Flynn is gone, and he was particularly close to the Russians, but one would expect with all of the bright light that has been put on the Russian-Trump connection that there would be an administration trying to bend over backwards. And then they have to deal with events, and the events are that a air base was used to gas civilians, and the Russians are all over that air base. If they didn't know, then they're not operating very effectively as a military force. They probably did know. And so any president has got to respond to that.
But I'm
as to Watergate.
Wait, but you're saying that the Trump people had to bend over backwards to accommodate Russia, but now they're attacking Russia and pushing Russia to distance itself from the Assad government.
Tucker, my comment was that because there's so much attention to whether or not they colluded with Russia during the campaign, they now have to disprove that by being even a little tougher against Russia than they might otherwise
be. So you're saying that you and your fellow Democrats pushed the Trump administration to unnecessarily bomb Syria to divert attention away from your theory that Trump and Putin were in bed together?
We shined a light on the Trump-Russia connection. How Trump responded to that, and I can't imagine that he would bomb Syria for political reasons, but if he did, that was not our idea. Our idea is to have a wide, clear-eyed view of Russia, whether it's their occupation of Crimea, their interference in Eastern Ukraine, or their support for this
I'm confused as to what you're saying. I mean, if you're saying that politics, the pressure that you applied on Trump played some role in his decision to bomb Syria, then you can't possibly support that bombing. You would be horrified by that if you thought that. If you thought it was even possible, you would be calling out the administration for bombing Syria, and instead you're complimenting them. So now I'm completely confused as to what you're alleging and why.
The Trump administration bombed Syria for a number of reasons. Whether one of those reasons was to prove to some element of the country that they weren't too close to Russia, we won't know. The Trump administration says they did it in order to punish Assad for his use of chemical weapons. Defense of the Chemical Weapons Convention is an important objective of the United States.
Can't take any more of this, but the guy admits that that there is no proof there's collusion. That's why we need an investigation, he says. Well, how about this? There's no proof, therefore shut the investigation down, because the only thing that you've got to gin up your base to engender excitement in disenfranchised liberals, self-disenfranchised liberals who don't accept the federal system. They want to run everything from the federal government down. They don't care about the local government, and therefore they've lost 1,000 seats across the United States since Obama came in office. You know, let's let the left suffer and not blame it on Russia. All right, so somebody just asked for local news. Well, I don't know how local this is, but I do have some New Mexico news for you. New Mexico blacks suffering high murder rate. A new report from Washington, D.C.-based Violence Policy Center indicates alarming trends in New Mexico for what it calls, quote, the black homicide victimization rate per capita. Although officials admit the actual numbers are quite small, the group claims 15 qualifying homicides occurred in New Mexico, ranking it third among African Americans in the nation with a rate of 28.48 homicides per 100,000, almost double the national black homicide victimization rate and nearly seven times the overall homicide rate nationwide. What are they going to do about it locally? Do Black Lives Matter? The center said it used unpublished data from FBI from 2014, the most recent year for which national studies exist. And that year it was 16.38 per 100,000, while the overall rate was 4.19 per 100,000, four times the average. Records did show, though, 9 homicides among African-Americans in 2014 for a rate of 18.7. And this is why they say be careful when you're making studies that you use a large enough number. And maybe, who knows, maybe there's not enough blacks in the state to really, you know, prove anything. But it does appear to be larger. In all, the center said there were 6,095 black homicide victims in the United States in 2014. Blacks represent about 13% of the U.S. population, but they account for 50% of all homicide victims. And I happen to know from having studied this before that half of the murders are committed by blacks, or more than 50%. So I wonder how much of that is black-on-black crime. In New Mexico, there are 54,000 African Americans, 2.6% of the state's population. Now, think about that. The average in the United States is 13%. Here, it's 2.6%. How come? Nationally, 83% of black homicide victims were killed with a gun. And in New Mexico, 79% were. So, the worst state, Missouri, 34.98, about 35 out of 100,000. Then Indiana at 30%. New Mexico, 28.48, Nebraska, 28, Pennsylvania, 26, Michigan, 25, Alaska, 24, Alaska, I can guarantee you there's hardly any black people there, Wisconsin, 24, Nevada, 22 out of 100,000, Louisiana, out of 22 out of 100,000, and I'm looking for, where's Illinois, because I know the worst, most dangerous city out there is Chicago. State is announcing a chili license plate. Governor Susana Martinez vetoed a bill to create a special chili license plate, but chili lovers will still be able to get a license plate featuring the chili without the extra cost. The new license, black license plate, says in yellow lettering, Chili Capital of the World, and has yellow license plate numbers. And I guess what the governor shot down was the $35 extra cost. And here's a little bit on nuclear waste disposal in New Mexico.
Drilling holes in the earth more than 3 miles deep. Some contend it's a move that could bring millions of dollars to New Mexico.
But it's radiating plenty of controversy and has little support from state leaders. Foreign investigator Chris Omeda says many fear this plan could lead to more nuclear waste being stored in our state.
New Mexico and the nuclear industry have a long and often romanticized relationship. But an idea proposed by the U.S. Department of Energy is being met with a reaction as explosive as the atom bomb itself.
They're taking desperate measures.
The DOE is looking for new ways to store high-level nuclear waste. We're talking stuff like spent fuel rods from nuclear reactors, and one idea is to bury our radioactive trash deep in the earth.
And that brings us here. The DOE simply doesn't know if that idea will work. And so for the next 10 years, they want to try the idea of drilling deep and dropping canisters into that hole.
The Department of Energy first wanted to drill in Rugby, North Dakota, and Spink County, South Dakota, but people there said no. And now the feds are looking at 4 new sites, Haakon County, South Dakota, Fort Stockton, Texas, Otero County, New Mexico, and Narvaeza in Quay County, New Mexico. Narvaeza is a rural community. Ranching and farming are the main sources of employment.
We don't need that. We don't need that here.
A group opposed to the drilling has been meeting in and around Quay County for weeks. They want the feds to hear their voices. No drilling in their backyard.
Now, on the surface, the hole really wouldn't be all that big. It's about the width of a piece of paper, 8.5 inches. And it would look something like this, 8.5 inches in diameter. The real controversy is how deep this hole would go under the surface. We're talking about 16 1,000 feet underground. That's the equivalent of 3 miles under the surface.
Thousands of canisters would stack one on top of another in the hole, and if all goes well, another borehole would be drilled nearby for more testing.
And that second borehole would be a little bit bigger, about the width of 2 pieces of paper to equal 17 inches on the surface in diameter.
The DOE contracted the company Enercon to explore the Narivisa site, and Enercon has promised the site would only be used for testing. Spokesman Chip Cameron spoke to us from Washington, D.C.
So there's not going to be any nuclear waste at the site.
Worst case scenario, if something were to go wrong, how much liability does the DOE or your company assume if a disaster were to happen?
Okay, and I'm going to take the term disaster with a little bit of a grain of salt because if you were talking about there actually being radioactive waste on site, then any miscarriage of that could be expensive. But the types of things that might go wrong from this particular operation of drilling the borehole would be something that might happen to the groundwater, and we're pretty positive that there's not going to be any effect on the Ogallala aquifer from this project.
The possibility of disrupting the aquifer under Quay County has been of great concern to the group. The water gives life to the people, the animals, and the crops here.
Our water, that is my biggest concern, yes.
My kids. I have 3 little babies, and I'm a 4th generation rancher, about 15 miles from the site where they want to do this project. So I want my kids to have a future here.
How many of you are opposed to the deep borehole project cited for Quay County, New Mexico?
And it became clear at these meetings there is a lot of distrust.
What if we took Enercon by their word and they were not going to put nuclear waste, it was just drilling, they were just going to do a big science experiment, take them at their word, you still have concerns?
Oh, definitely. I know too many people that tell lies.
I think that there's always a possibility that you could use this site for nuclear waste. If that does happen, just the possibility will put a cloud over our area.
So you just feel like inevitably you're going to end up with nuclear waste in your backyard?
Praise God, yeah.
A nuclear cloud. All right, let's take take our first break here. And 523-1450, I'll get to your text in a minute, 805-6180. 724. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, Kelly O'Connell on KOBE. All right, so just looking over the other stories that I have too many to really get into, but all right. How about this? How about a little bit on I had some stories. Well, I guess I can always get into these later, but Sanctuary City is a big deal, and the new rules and everything. So let's get into what's going on at our border. And I've got a clip from the Pima County Sheriff. And I've got another clip from Jeff Sessions talking about what the changes are going to be like at the border. So let me play the Pima County Sheriff clip first.
For those that continue to seek improper and illegal entry into this country, be forewarned. This is a new era.
The one thing that I found interesting about this story is it explains, the Pima County Sheriff explains how the Border Patrol agents would catch these people coming in. They'd hold them, they'd call ICE. ICE would come and pick them up and then release them, which when you think about it, I realized that Obama wanted to, he promised to change everything in the country, But the way that he did it was so degraded and just, you know, thoughtless and passive aggressive, whatever you want to call it. Changed the country by just degrading it. I really think that we need to have an anti, I'm looking at this picture. Remember when the pastor came on and said that Obama and his wife and his wife. And by the way, I keep getting texts from people claiming that that Obama's wife is not a female, but that the Mount Rushmore, we need an anti Mount Rushmore and to put Obama on that. But here is the Pima County Sheriff.
This is the Trump era, the lawlessness, the abdication of duty to enforce our laws, and the catch and release policies of the past are over.
All right, on any other day, this would be the lead story item here. The Attorney General of the United States along the Arizona-Mexico border to say, look, we apprehend people. We're not going to let them go. And you sanctuary cities, states that have another idea, we're not going to let go of you either. There are laws on the books.
I'm telling you, this is there's a ghost in the machine. This, my computer keeps rebooting. Hold on a second here.
Here, the Attorney General of the United States along the Arizona-Mexico border to say, look, we apprehend people. We're not going to let them go. And you sanctuary cities, states that have another idea, we're not going to let go of you either. There are laws on the books here, and we are looking after the rights of protected U.S. citizens and not illegals that oftentimes are just released soon after being taken in. Reaction now from Pima County, Arizona, Sheriff Mark Napier. Sheriff, what did you make of that?
Well, thank you for having me on, Neil. It's gratifying to hear more attention being given by the federal government and more thoughtful attention given to the issues surrounding criminal activity and illegal immigration. My county has 125-mile exposure to the international border, and so public safety and the crime associated with illegal immigration is paramount to the people in my county and to the safety, especially of ranchers in rural areas, many of which are afraid to go out and ride their own fence lines because of the criminal activity coming across the border. So we welcome additional attention to this issue.
Now, what does he mean, Sheriff? And maybe you can explain the process now. Let's say you round up illegals and then you turn them over to ICE or whatever happens. I don't know the exact order of procedure, but they're invariably let go or they get away. The message I think I heard out of the Attorney General is that stops. So my question is, where are they going to stay? Illegals who you apprehend or working in concert with ICE, what happens?
Well, that's a very good question, Neil. What generally happens is when one of our officers out doing the work that the deputies do come across somebody they believe to be in this country without proper documentation, they will turn that person over to Border Patrol. What I've heard from my federal partners is that there had been a decreased emphasis on upholding the rule of the law on the federal part due to direction provided by the prior administration. So there was kind of a catch and release. We would catch the person, we would turn them over to Border Patrol, and subsequently they would be released. And I think what they're saying is that's going to stop. Where they're housing these federal prisoners, it certainly would not be in my jail. I have space for about 2,000 people in my jail, and this morning we have about 1,850 in there. So we don't have additional capacity to store federal prisoners. It's really not the role of the Pima County Sheriff's Department to store federal prisoners on immigration violations for any length of time. It shouldn't be an expense shouldered by the taxpayers of Pima County.
You know, Sheriff, we're at, I think, 16 or 17-year lows about the number of illegal, particularly criminals who are getting into this country. Many say it's in response to President Trump and his tough talk, illustrated today with what General Sessions was saying. What do you think is going on here? Or is it that a lot of illegals just don't look at it as worth the trouble?
Well, I think there's clearly, Neil, there's increased emphasis under the current administration for providing more resources on our southern Arizona border. And the idea of crossing the border is becoming less attractive because the possibility that you're going to be caught and then dealt with more severely by the federal government is increased. But, Neil, we really have to balance this with the approach to Mexico is a great trading partner to the state of Arizona to the tune of about $9 billion a year. So we have to strike that balance between welcoming trade partner and dealing with criminality associated with illegal immigration. They're not exactly the same thing. And it is about $9 billion a year to Arizona on transnational trade. So
yeah.
We've got to remember we have friends and partners in Mexico, but we have to deal with this criminal element at the same time.
Do you think we still need the wall?
Well, I think the wall, Neil, is an analogous term. I think there are places where a physical barrier makes perfect sense, and that is an absolutely good approach to certain areas. There are other areas that will lend themselves to technology and human resources. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all solution.
Good answer. Good answer. Let's take a break here and listen to some local news for you. For the who was the guy that called in? Was it another Bob, a false Bob, a new Bob? Hey, whatever happened to Mike, I wonder, with the dogs barking and everything. For that matter, whatever happened to Jerry with the chickens clucking in the background? It always makes you wonder, Patty and her overly emotional harangues and her proof on Facebook. You wonder where these people end up. 735 Kelly O'Connell, AM Les Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We will have some local news for you. All right, I have a question for you. They've got this, Bill O'Reilly appears to be in trouble now, and he might be removed because he's got all these lawsuits and claims from women that he came onto them. Let me just ask you one thing. This is, I don't know if there's a clear answer to this, but Bill Cosby, who was roundly considered to be America's greatest comedian other than maybe somebody like Richard Pryor, clean comedy, you know, never used any foul language. And he's also a movie star and wealthy. And so my question is, why would some, I mean, obviously he wouldn't need to drug women to have sex with him. But if Bill O'Reilly was hitting on women in such a way that it got him sued, it really just makes me wonder. It's like some of these people seem like they've achieved the highest level of success, but at the same time, they're very clumsy. I mean, to be doing what Cosby was doing is just begging for punishment, right? And to be discredited. And maybe the same thing for O'Reilly. And there's a lot of other examples out there. It just makes me wonder if a person is smart enough and talented enough to make it to the top like that in the entertainment industry of all things, which is by definition getting reactions from people, getting, you know, evoking feelings of happiness, joy, laughter, all these things. Why they can't, I just don't understand this. Like, why can't you approach women in such a way that it's not bound to blow up in your face? I don't get it. I mean, especially with as media crazy as this country is now, it just seems surreal that these guys couldn't take advantage of that. Well, you know what Shaq did? I think, according to Kobe, the basketball player, Shaq, the basketball player, when Kobe got in trouble, he said something along the lines of, I should have done what Shaq did, you know, because Kobe got in trouble for having sex with this girl on this trip at this hotel in Colorado. And he said, I should have done what Shaq did, which is just pay for mine. But I mean, in a sense, if that's what Shaq did, if he had relationships with these women and then paid them something, he gave them. And that's from what I understand, this guy, the shortstop for the Yankees, Jeter, if he had an assignation with some young lady, he would always, you know, I was apparently a very polite guy, and he would always give them some mementos and stuff. But I mean, it's almost like you have to buy it. But on the other hand, just because you're a celebrity, it doesn't mean you can sleep with whoever you want, right? All right. Now that we've got that settled, 47% support for Trump. Frankie, it's probably easier to call in and insult me than it is to insult me over the text line. You can insult me and all the other conservatives out there at the same time, by the way. You don't have to roll around in bed and try to text at the same time. All right. I've got something off of the beaten path here. For those of you who love cars, I saw this and I thought I'd bring a little clip of it for you. Well, let's do weather first, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about the fastest production car that's ever been made. It's called the Dodge Challenger SRT Demon, and we'll be just give you a little bit on that. Can you believe over 800 horsepower? AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. Kelly O'Connell, KOBE, 742. All right, here is this car. All right, I'm going to play for you. I told somebody else that I was talking about this show, and I told him that I didn't put on the taste of what I mentioned cannibalism yesterday, played a few clips, that I didn't play the clip for what human flesh tasted like, because, frankly, I don't want to start a mania out there, but I am going to play it in just a minute. Here's your Dodge Challenger SRT Demon from Cars.com, and this just came out yesterday.
So how do you top the Dodge Challenger Hellcat with 707 horsepower? You basically go bat crazy, and that's what Dodge has done here. This is the new 2018 Dodge Challenger SRT Demon, and let me tell you some of these numbers. They're unbelievable. 840 horsepower. 770 pound-feet of torque. This thing will do the quarter mile in 9.65 seconds at 140 miles an hour. It is the fastest production car ever. And basically, it goes 0 to 60 in 2.3 seconds. It does 0 to 100 in 5.1 seconds. This is unbelievable. No automaker has built a car like this for general consumption. It is a factory-built dragster is what it is. We don't know how much it's going to cost yet, but some of the specs and some of the features on this thing are going to make it really special. First of all, they've taken over 200 pounds out of this car by taking away things that you might want or you might not want, like the front passenger seat, like the entire back seat, like all of the carpeting and trim in the trunk. You can actually add in the passenger seat and the back seat for a dollar each if you really want to have yourself a boulevard cruiser instead of a drag strip terror. These tires are something special as well. These are specially formulated Nitto drag radial tires. They're the same size in the front and the back. And if you actually specify a special package called the Demon Crate, you get these super skinny drag racing front wheels. Now that lets you go to the track, take your big fat front tires off the vehicle, put on these skinny tires, go down the drag strip, and you have another pair of tires that you could put on the back for when you shred the first pair. Now, how you get home after that? Well, that's up to you. This thing has a bunch of special parts made specifically for drag racing. It's got a trans lock. It's got a line lock. It's got a special cooling system that'll actually use the air conditioning refrigerant to specially cool the inner cooler that makes the air go into the engine 45 degrees cooler than the ambient outside air. All of this is basically made so that it can go down a drag strip faster than just about anything else out there. Now, Dodge is only going to be making about 3,000 of the Demons, and they're going to be showing up in showrooms sometime later in 2017. You can see more about the Demon.
All right, and we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Brad. I just wanted to pass on some information to you and your listeners.
Sure, go ahead, Brad. Thanks for the call.
I just found out that our local government is selling our personal information to telemarketers. And the way I found this out is I got a letter from Quicken Loans. They had my address and phone number. They had my mortgage, monthly amount, my taxes. and they were trying to sell me a refinance program, and I was trying to figure out, they had the name of my bank, my payoff balance, and my monthly, and I was trying to figure out how they got this information. I thought the bank had sold it to them, but up in the top left corner of this Quicken Loans junk mail, it said, we have this information because your local government has sold it to us.
That's bizarre.
And
yeah, how do you,
I just don't,
well, Brad, let me ask you this. The mayor has stated repeatedly we're in a no-growth area. Doesn't that contradict it? Aren't they trying to fundraise through the populace? Isn't this like selling somebody's kidneys while they're a prisoner?
Yeah. I didn't like it. This kind of rubbed me wrong, and I just wanted you and your listeners to know about it. Maybe we can start a petition or start complaining. I'm assuming it's the assessor's office or the treasurer's office. I don't know. That would be the county, right? Not the city.
We need a follow-up on this. Can you check, can you look into it and call back and give us a little information? And if you're going to do a protest, could you let us know?
I'll call the county and I'll ask them about it, because I already threw the letter away, but it definitely said we have this information because your county government has sold it to us.
Well, maybe we're now a growth area. Maybe that's a good sign, but I mean, it is outrageous. Call me back, Brad, when you have more information.
I will. Thank you, and I appreciate your show very much.
God bless you, Brad. Thank you. All right, folks, the taste of human flesh, maybe that's what they're getting ready to do next. Maybe they're going to take the oldsters here and try to sell them on the black market, because frankly, we don't have an economy here. Everybody knows that.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Greg.
Nice to meet you.
BBC Earth Lab, Taste of Human Flesh.
Nice to meet you too.
Thanks so much for helping me out with it.
No problem. Welcome to King's.
So, I believe that you're going to help me find out what humans taste of by taking a muscle biopsy from my leg. Is that right?
That's right. We're going to take a small piece of muscle from the outer part of your quadriceps muscle, your thigh, today.
Okay. Under a local anesthetic, Steve is going to get right into my leg muscle.
That's big.
And pull out a bit of tasty thigh.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh.
All
done.
Oh. I felt that.
Would you like to have a look at?
I'd love to have a look. Yes.
Taken. What we actually can't see, but will be in there, is the connective tissue, which wraps around muscle fibers.
Is that like when you gnaw on a chicken bone and there's kind of the stringy bits? That's the connective tissue.
That's the connective tissue.
We're actually a lot more like the animals we eat than you'd think. Analysis of my leg reveals that it's about half the same type of muscle found in chicken breast, but it also contains similar muscle fibers to those found in cuts of beef. To find out what that makes it taste like means traveling to Nottingham.
I cannot guess what you know.
Hey, Avinash.
Hello, Greg.
How you doing?
Oh, how you doing?
The truth is, it's illegal to eat human flesh, even your own, but there's still a way to nail the taste. Avinash is about to make scientific history and analyze for the first time the aromas of cooked human.
The aroma is usually around about 80% of the total composition of the flavor.
And that's why when you eat a banana, if you do that with your nose and you eat it, it doesn't taste of banana.
That's correct.
So this is it. This is my cooked leg meat.
That's correct, yeah.
Can I have a smell?
Go for it. See what you think.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that actually smells quite nice.
Is it really?
It's really meaty, though.
Okay.
Like a lot richer than pork or chicken.
Very distinctive. Yeah.
Oh, it's like beef and ale stew or something. So, what does Avinash reckon I taste of?
Trending towards sort of the red meat side of the panel, so a bit towards the lamb and the pork. So it's a combination.
I kind of feel like I need to taste it now for myself.
You're on your own.
You want a piece of meat, meat.
All right, I don't know what he's doing here, but there's a few more stories that are related to this. Lip TV.
The Chinese government has just been forced to respond to rumors claiming that they are packing human meat
labeling it as corned beef, and then selling it to African grocery stores.
Must be the meat of Irishmen if they're claiming it's corned beef.
It all started out as a goofy-ass Facebook post, which went viral all across Africa.
All right. Here's another one. Hotel selling cooked human meat found in Nigeria. 11 arrested with human heads. And this doesn't have any – this just has a script, but a hotel selling cooked human meat found in Onitsha, Nigeria, arrested – 11 arrested with human – 11 arrested with human heads.
Seven rifles and other weapons were also discovered in the hotel. The arrest followed tip-offs from area residents on Thursday morning. The hotel owner, six women and four men were arrested. After police got access to the hotel, they made a startling discovery of two human heads wrapped in a cellophane bag, two AK-47 rifles, two army caps, 40 rounds of live ammunition, and so many cell phones. Each time I came to market, because the hotel is very close to the market, I always noticed funny movements in and out of the hotel. Dirty people with dirty characters always come into the so. I was not surprised when the police made this discovery in the early hours of yesterday, said a vegetable seller in the area.
Selling human meat. Now, there's something called, there's a group called the Army of God, and it is in, and I don't really have enough time to play a clip from that, but the Army of God is a group in one of these countries. I can't remember which one of these African countries. And one of the things that they do is to, they do cannibalism. Now this is actually part of paganism. This idea that you would kill your enemy and then eat part of their body and then absorb their spirit. That's the symbol of total domination. You're not just destroying, you know, not just killing your enemy and destroying him, but you're actually consuming him. And the chief most part would be the heart. And I think this is out of Liberia. So be careful on any meat sheep shipments out of Liberia. Well, thanks for tuning in. It's shocking to find out that the city, if it's true, is selling the information of the residents. And I think it's especially hypocritical if the mayor and you know, county leaders get up and say this is a no-growth area, that to then sell, to prove that's a lie by showing they still need income by selling your information. And was this ever brought to the public for their approval? Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. I'm looking forward to hearing back from Brad. Have a great day. Ciao. 7:59.